Hello and welcome to Fatima Today. This show is produced by the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army, and brings topics to you, our viewers, related to the events in the world today. We live in tumultuous times when logic seems to have disappeared and uncertainty hangs over us. Our hope on these programs is to address the issues of the day and find solutions through adherence to the laws of God, especially through the message of Fatima. We ask that you subscribe to this podcast.
Welcome to Fatima Today. I'm your host, Barb Ernster. I'm here with my co-host, Katie Moran. Welcome, Katie.
Oh, excited to be back. I love talking about St. Louis de Montfort, and that's what we're going to be talking about today again.
Yes, last week we introduced people to St. Louis de Montfort's writings and how they pair so well with the messages of Fatima. This week, we're going to talk about the characteristics of true devotion to Our Lady, according to St. Louis de Montfort, and kind of how the three children of Fatima demonstrated that in their lives. And first, I want to start with the Hail Mary, so let's begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed he is.
You're going to hear this till Ascension.
Yeah, glad to that you remind me of that. Thank you. So again, we're talking about St. Louis de Montfort, whose feast day is on April 28th, and it was approximately 200 years before the Fatima apparitions that he died. He died in 1716. He had taught all over France this great devotion to Mary and the idea of consecrating yourself to Jesus through Mary, because you will achieve holiness much quicker when you do all things through Mary. Well, we know that Our Lady appeared 200 years later and starts to bring this devotion to light in what she gave to Sister Lucia of Fatima, the mission to establish in the world devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And St. Louis de Montfort, his writings from 200 years earlier begin to come forth in the messages of Fatima. And so many people have consecrated themselves to Jesus through Mary using a 33-day program. We always like to promote St. Louis de Montfort's actual program because he was the master. And, you know, one of the key aspects of becoming devoted to Mary is because it's going to draw you closer to Jesus. And that was what Mary was. She was the greatest disciple of Jesus. And we learn from her. Fatima is known as the School of Mary or the School of the Immaculate Heart. And that's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort was trying to get us to understand, that we grow in perfect love for Christ when we follow her as our model. So, Katie, do you want to add anything more before we delve into some more about the characteristics of true devotion?
Yeah, let me read this quote from St. Louis in his book, True Devotion to Mary, which I'm going to interject here. You get it at shopfatima.com, so go get your copy. But I read mine years ago, and I've got pages cornered and highlighted and scribbled over, and it's just... So one of the first things he wrote is, where Mary is, there the evil spirit is not. Direct quote from him. And I'm going to interject here. This is because in many of my readings of the saints and the mystics, they have all said the devils would rather be in the depths of hell with the greatest torments than to be in the presence of the Immaculate One, mm-hmm. Mary. So he was very accurate when he said, where Mary is, the evil spirit is not. Then he said, one of the infallible marks we have of being conducted by the good spirit is our being very devout to Mary. Do you pray the rosary every day and wear the brown scapular? That's me saying. And then he said, thinking of her often and speaking of her often. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think of Our Lady often throughout the day.
Oh, yes.
And well, of course, we're talking about her now. Well, you know, you have that good quote, you know, they that talk about me shall be saved, you know, from Ecclesiasticus, you know. So that's even in scripture. Mm-hmm. If you promote Our Lady and speak about her, you know, you and I are talking our way to heaven, I meant to say.
I think about Mary most when I especially don't model her as best as I can.
Oh, yes.
You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't even look at you because I am certainly not like you at all. So, but when we snuggle up close to her Immaculate Heart, she's always there as a good mother to comfort us and help us to lead us on the right path again. And that's what I love about being devoted to Mary. The more a soul is consecrated to Mary, the more it is consecrated to Jesus Christ. This is what St. Louis de Montfort taught. It's not about worshiping Mary. It's about learning from her. And that's exactly what she's trying to get us to learn from me, the greatest disciple, the one who stood at the foot of the cross and was with the apostles when they started out and started the church. There was Mary. She's always there with us. So
with the characteristics, the three children definitely achieved them. You know, Lucia throughout her life, but the two children, Francisco and Jacinta, they achieved that in less than 2 years.
Yes.
The characteristics of it. And again, we got to remember, they did not read and write. They could never, there's no way they could have read True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort for in the past 2 years of their life. You know, this was something that was given them by Our Lady, and St. Louis wrote about it for us, the followers of the Fatima message, the followers of the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So his first one is interior. Yeah. That means inside ourselves, within our soul. And he writes, it comes from the mind and the heart. It flows from the esteem we have for her, the high idea we have formed of her greatness and the love which we have for her. So this is how it becomes interior. Mm-hmm. It just throughout your whole body, soul, mind, heart, you know what she is, and you just love her. And yes, you're always there. I go to her constantly all day long. You know, dear lady, be a mother to me. St. Teresa Calcutta said to do that.
Yes. We do develop a great esteem for her when we become devoted to her, when we study her life. And the children did. Of course, they were lucky enough to see her. They saw how beautiful she was. They saw how gentle she was, how gently she spoke with them, even though she was very serious in her demeanor. But, you know, St. Francisco, I'll do whatever the beautiful lady asks of me. So their devotion, their modeling of true devotion comes from their being able, this interior esteem they had for her, that they would have done anything for her. And of course, they were also graced with her opening her hands and radiating Christ. She reflected the light of Christ. That's why Mary is always depicted as the moon, which reflects the sun. She's not the sun, but she reflects the sun. So she reflected Christ to them. And so they understood that she was this mother, and her Immaculate Heart was going to be a way for them to get to God. And so their esteem for her did flow from their mind and heart.
And they you got to remember too, also, they did not know who the beautiful lady was until October 13th.
Right.
Which is interesting, because that you see that when Our Lady doesn't reveal herself immediately during an apparition, the who she appears to, they are so humble and little, they don't even think it's her initially.
Yeah.
So the children did that. But you were talking about her being the moon that reflects the light of the sun. I don't know how many people were able to witness a couple of weeks ago the solar eclipse. I was able to sit in my backyard and watch it
when
the totality came about. You didn't need, what's interesting is, in order to look at the sun, I thought of this, I'm sitting there thinking spiritual thoughts while I'm watching this. In order to look at it, you would go blind unless you had protective glasses, which I considered Our Lady, to be able to watch the moon moving over, because the brightness would blinded you. Once the moon covered the sun, all that showed around the moon was the brilliant, beautiful light that we could now look at without being mm-hmm. blinded. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is a spiritual reality. You could get a lot of spiritual thought out of that, witnessing the solar eclipse, the moon mm-hmm. of Our Lady coming in front of the sun of justice and just reflecting the light that we're able to look at without being blinded. And it was phenomenal to see. It really was, in person, sitting there looking up at it.
Wow.
I mean, I was in awe of it. I didn't think I would be, I'll be honest with you. But I really was in awe of the majesty of God and the universe and everything that's created around it. So that's just a little insert in there, that truly she is the moon reflecting the glory of God.
And these children saw that. They saw how she reflected Christ. And of course, she's coming to teach us to also be reflections of Christ's light. We have to be light for the world that's increasingly in darkness. And so she wants us to reflect Christ like she does. That's what she's trying to teach us. And it comes from when we're devoted to her, our devotion is truly interior. Our hearts overflow with love for Christ, you know, because of she teaches us how to love. And we have great esteem for her because of how she's what St. Louis de Montfort called the masterpiece of grace. Even the angel stood in awe. Who is this? Who is she? She's the one who's going to be the first tabernacle of our Lord. She's going to carry our Lord. I mean, we should have great esteem for the Mother of God.
Yeah.
For what she, her willingness to say yes and not know how God was going to, she said yes before she even, you know, really knew what, how this was going to come about. She just trusted. And so she's trying to get us to trust as well. What is the second characteristic, Katie?
Tender. And this is one of my favorites. He writes, tender. It is tender, full of confidence and her childlike confidence in our loving mother. And it's this tender confidence that makes a soul have recourse to her in everything you need, whether physical, mental, spiritual, because you are like a child. You're simple, you trust, and there's tenderness. So you can tell someone who has a devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart because they have the childlike tenderness. They just go to her and run to her. And they know she's going to just take you up in her arms and enclose you in her mantle, like she said to St. Juan Diego, am I not here who am your mother? Are you not in the crossings of my arms, in my mantle, in my heart? So that is the tenderness. And those who've never read or don't know the Guadalupe apparitions, you need to read that to see the tenderness, because she reflects that before she even told St. Louis de Montfort about it in 1760, you know. When you think about it, because Guadalupe took place long before that, and she was already coming there as a tender mother. So I love that quality, tenderness.
Yeah, full of confidence in her, like a child's confidence. And who does a child go to in the family when they've done wrong or when they are hurting? They go to the mother. They have confidence in going to the mother. The mother is going to have the heart and enfold that child and give guidance before even going to the father. And so I love to think of Francisco Marto, of course, the second oldest of the three children at Fatima, who had such tenderness in his heart for Mary and confidence in his prayer. She really helped him gain that confidence in going to Jesus. Where does he go to pray? He did pray for many, many rosaries. He prayed as many rosaries that she asked him for. And he reflected on the life of Christ. What does that drive him to? It drives him to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. So there he is in the church, day after day, skipping school, realizing it's not worth it for me to learn anything because I'm not going to live long. But he wanted to go to Christ and console him. He comes to Jesus in the tabernacle, full of confidence that he's going to answer his prayers. And how many times did Francisco come out of that time of prayer before Christ, go to Lucia and say, tell so-and-so that God will answer their prayer. And it was answered. And little Jacinta, such great tenderness for the Blessed Mother. She her favorite prayer, oh, sweet Immaculate Heart of Mary, be my salvation. Sweet Heart of Mary, be my salvation. You know, both of them loving Jesus and Mary so much. And, you know, Sweet Heart of Mary, be my salvation. That I just love that little prayer that Jacinta would say so often. So to look at these three children at Fatima and see how they modeled these characteristics of true devotion that St. Louis de Montfort writes about 200 years earlier.
Yeah, and you move forward. You go from interior to tender to characteristic is holy. And the other two, interior and tender, lead us right into this. It's devotion, not because we're holy, but because Our Lady's holy. And when we emulate her holiness, we want to, first of all, avoid sin, and we make a more conscious effort, especially venial sin. And then we'll imitate her virtues, which will lead us to be holy. Particularly, and these are her 10 principal virtues, profound humility, her lively faith, her blind obedience, her continual prayer, her universal mortification, her divine purity, her ardent charity, her heroic patience, her angelic sweetness, and her divine wisdom. And this is something you and I have talked about doing a separate show on, Barb, you know, the virtues. And we should, because people just heard them and they may think, well, how do I imitate these? So, but one of the characteristics is we're striving for this.
Well, and I love to talk and bring in now the three children of Fatima, how they actually gained in these virtues and how they tried so hard to avoid any kind of sin. I mean, what did Jacinta say? If why doesn't God show hell to everybody? They would never sin again. So every little thing to them, they tried so hard to avoid sinning, and they did take on the virtues of the Blessed Virgin. How profoundly humble they were. You know, look at how humble they were before, how many people that would come at them. And they didn't say, oh, look at me, I saw the Blessed Mother. They were always trying to get people to do what Our Lady asked them to do. It wasn't about them. Lucia was like that for her entire life. She knew people coming to her all those years, it wasn't about her. They weren't coming to see her. They wanted somehow to touch the Blessed Mother. They wanted to know the Blessed Mother. And so this was the humility that they developed. And of course, their lively faith and their, you know, it came from their obedience. When the Blessed Mother said, are you willing to offer yourselves every day and be, you know, unite your will with the Lord's? They obediently said yes. But then they did that every day. And Lucia taught that for 88 years, that our wills united with God is what makes us holy. And she demonstrates the virtue of obedience throughout her entire life as well, how obedient she was to her superiors, to her prayer life, to her willingness to take on sacrifices, to her daily duty. She was obedient. And so these children, their continual prayer, it's another one. You know, what does Francisco say? I'll say as many rosaries as the beautiful lady wants me. And he does say many rosaries. He was always thinking about God. They were always mortifying themselves. And Jacinta teaching us about purity, you know, that certain fashions would come about that would offend God. And those who follow God should not take on these fashions. That has happened in our world. Of course, what was going on in 1917? I'm not sure what fashions were so impure, but look at how impure our world is today. But when you are following the Blessed Mother, you don't want to be like, you want to be like her. You do want to be pure. You do think twice about how you're dressing or how you're acting. And so this is a great, to study St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion. And this book is available, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's available all over the place, but you can get the latest version at shopfatima.com. And that's where you will find these teachings.
And the, you know, the fourth characteristic, Barb, is it's constant. It doesn't fluctuate. We are confirmed in goodness. And there is a constant in there where you don't abandon your spiritual exercises easily. You may be tempted to. You may get the dryness. You may get the, oh my goodness, you know, I don't know if I can do this another day. But yet you do not abandon it because you've been confirmed in doing it. And it makes us courageous in opposing the world and its fashions, the devil, the temptations, so that you're truly devout to Our Lady, because Our Lady is neither changeable, irritable, scrupulous, or timid. So when we are confirmed or we're constant in what we do, that's the most important thing to remember. It's not always going to be easy. God wants to know, and I've said this, I used to say this when I spoke at homeschooling conferences, God wants to know, do you love him for himself or do you love him for his candy store? And the kids understood this. God's graces and blessings he gives us is like going into a candy store and taking whatever you want. After a while, you know, you wonder, do they love me because I'm giving all this free to them, or do they love me personally? So when God pulls back all of the things that make it easy for you to be constant and holy and interior in your devotions, now you're doing it out of pure faith. You're doing it because you love God. You don't love him for what he can give you or what Our Lady can give you. So that is important to remember in being constant. It's not going to be an easy road to walk.
Right. Yeah, and especially when you're going through those periods of desolation and darkness, you don't feel like praying. The last thing you want to do is get up and go to Mass or get your rosary beads out, or, you know, you just would rather give up on it. And that happens a lot when, you know, you're first starting out in, you know, taking on the Christian lifestyle and trying to get closer to God, it can be very inconsistent. The ways of the world start to draw you away. You get busy. But when you are devoted to Mary, she teaches us that, you know, this is a daily thing. Every day, pick up the cross and follow Christ. Every day, give God some time. And not to give up when you are being discouraged. There are so many times of discouragement. And, you know, you can read about that through St. Louis, St. Ignatius of Loyola, how he teaches us about the discernment of spirits. So that's another great saint to study, especially if you want to grow in this. But constant, and the children certainly demonstrated that. They didn't give up on their faith life. They just kept growing. They just kept desiring heaven, and that's where their hearts and their minds were. And poor Lucia had to spend 88 more years, but she was constant throughout. She never gave up in her obedience to God every day and her obedience to her prayer life.
You know, the saints will tell us that when you feel this desolation, the desert, you should reflect back to a time when it was easy to pray and God let the graces flow easily and naturally, because then you know that the desert isn't permanent, that you'll eventually get out of it and you'll be back to where you were before. So that's an important thing to remember in order to stay constant in it. And another maxim they write of is, do not change what you were doing when you enter into a desolation period or a difficult time to pray. That's when you don't change up and make things different. You stick to what you were doing until you come out of it. And then if you want to make changes, you can. So that comes from the master, St. Ignatius being top of the list there.
And that's often when God is working on you with something. Yeah. And how often did Lucia come out of these times and Our Lady would come to her and say, Our Lord wanted to prove your obedience. Yep. So he's testing you, but he's also strengthening you. So he's working deep in your soul. You can't feel it. You can't see it. And that's when, as you said, we got to remain unchangeable. We can't give up during those times.
The last quality is disinterested. Now, that's an interesting one that the St. Louis brings to us, because he told us it's interior, it's tender, it's holy, it's constant, but it's disinterested. And what that means is it inspires the soul not to seek itself, but God only. Again, why you have desolation in prayer life, because if you start to seek yourself, then that's not good. Our Lady teaches us to seek God only and His Holy Mother only. So if you are a true devotee of Our Lady and Her Immaculate Heart, you know, you're going to serve things out of, not for what you can get out of it, whether temporal, eternal, corporal, spiritual. You're going to do it because she deserves to be loved and God alone in her. You'll take yourself out of the equation.
Yes.
And that's when you know you're going forward, when you don't do anything for anything else, but just for her, whether you're rewarded or not.
And, you know, Father Hugh Gillespie, who did a 5-part series on the true devotion, the devotion to Mary, the characteristics that are demonstrated in the children, you can get that at watch.bluearmy.com. It's called The Immaculate Heart of Mary, Hope for the World. It's free. Blue Army, watch.bluearmy.com by Father Hugh Gillespie. He talks about, you know, the more you grow in true devotion and your consecration to Jesus through Mary, you are disinterested. You're serving her. You're serving our Lord. You're doing your prayers, you're offering your sacrifices, and the graces and mercy that is coming forth from Jesus through the heart of Mary, you're not interested in how she's going to apply them. He talks about, like, when you take your money and you put it in the bank and you're looking at what interest am I gaining from this, and then eventually you take your money, you give it to a financial advisor and you want him to grow it. When you become totally consecrated to Jesus through Mary and the grace and the mercy that's being achieved through the holiness in your life, you're no longer interested in what the financial advisor is doing with your money. He could be giving it all away for all you care. You're no longer interested. And that's kind of the analogy he gives. As you know, the more you grow in this consecration, the less interested you are in what God and Our Lady are doing in you. It's not about you anymore. It's about totally serving and growing and serving that, you know, God the Father, because that's what it's going to be like when we're in heaven. We're going to be serving God because He's God, not because of anything that we're achieving.
St. Teresa of Lisieux gave a good analogy for that, for Barb, when she said she was nothing but a ball. a little ball that if Jesus decided to play with her, that was great. If he decided to let her, the little ball, sit in a corner, unnoticed, unobserved, not played with, it didn't bother her either. So that's sort of a gem from her on how we should view whether what we're doing for Our Lady, you know.
Yeah, there's so many
examples. Only in eternity will we see the souls we save, have saved through our sacrifices.
Well, and then you look at St. Teresa of Calcutta, too, how she, how many years she did not feel God in her, but she just kept going, kept moving forward. There's so many examples from many saints of this devotion to Jesus through Mary. It doesn't flow exactly, you know, they didn't write about it in that way, but they certainly lived it. And so that's why, you know, this is a timeless teaching. It comes from the Blessed Mother, comes from our Lord, comes from the gospel message. Picking up that cross every day and following Christ, that's what we're trying to do. So we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to just remind people, you can get these books, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, and then the Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus Christ through Mary, written by Father Hugh Gillespie. Those are available at shopfatima.com. There's many ways in which there's many other programs that talk about consecration. I love to turn people to the Master himself to read from him. And it's very easy reading. True Devotion to Mary is a classic. All of what we're talking about is in that book. St. Louis de Montfort, as I said, he wrote for the simple people, the uneducated. So it's very easy to understand him. So go ahead and get these books. They should be part of your library and part of your spiritual growth. Next week, we want to try to do one more podcast on St. Louis de Montfort. We want to talk about his marks of false and authentic devotion to Mary. False and authentic devotion to Mary. And listening to him about what is a false devotion, wow, you can start to learn for yourself too. He really helps us grow in this devotion. And again, it parallels the Fatima message. So I want to thank you, Katie, for joining us, and we hope you'll join us again next week.
Thank you very much. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.